Reading for us, but I like to read the scriptures so that we can get and have the context before we embark upon the teaching, all right? So if you're physically able, let's just stand and honor God's word as I read these 11 verses, and then we'll see if God will help us unpack them together and see what we can learn. Verse 1 of 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover." Verse 2. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, "Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer.
Yes, yes.
I have seen your tears.
Thank you, Lord.
Behold, I will heal you. Mm-hmm. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." Verse 7. And Isaiah said, "Bring a cake of figs and let them take and lay it on the boil that he may recover." Mm-hmm. Verse 8. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This shall be the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he has promised. Shall the shadow go forward 10 steps or go back 10 steps? And Hezekiah answered, "It is an easy thing for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps. Rather let the shadow go back 10 steps. And Isaiah the prophet called to the Lord, and he brought the shadow back 10 steps by which it had gone down on the steps of Ahaz. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, we bow together in your presence and ask you for your help as we together as a congregation seek to understand the truths that you have preserved here for us. Speak, Lord. Your people listen, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. Can y'all see that all right? And so, Pastor Perry, would you turn that, the furthest one, if you just turn that on back? Thank you. Y'all okay with that? Light's good? All right. I want to talk again, this is for a second time this week, I want to talk from the subject, when your back is against the wall, okay? When your back is against the wall. You might remember from last time, I know some of you weren't here, so I'll just rehearse a little bit of what we covered last time. Those of you who know the history of Israel, you know that at one time Israel was one nation, right? And as a result of their sin, they were divided into 10 tribes, which were called the Northern Kingdom, and the other tribes, 2 tribes, which were called the Southern Kingdom. The Southern Kingdom was known as Judah. Now, as Judah continued to function, they had various kings. Hezekiah was the 12th king of the small nation, the tribe, and the Southern Kingdom, all right? He became king at age 26, and he reigned for 29 years, all right? Now, we just learned here in verse 1 that Hezekiah became gravely ill. He was at the point of death. He was nearing death, and he was at age 39. 39-year-old king who has been ruling for 14 years and now he is at the point of death. In verses 2 and 3, we can see that when he faced this trouble, Isaiah brought him this dire medical diagnosis. He turned away from the trouble, turned to the wall, and prayed to the Lord for mercy. All right? And then we see in verses 4, 5, and 6 that God heard him. God answered his prayer and promised to give him 15 more years of life. And all we can say to that is amen, right?
Amen.
Now, I want us to think about the lessons we learned last week, and then we'll just kind of tie it all together, all right? I want us all to be on the same page. So, from last week, you can remember that it's God who either creates or permits a believer to face circumstances that are beyond natural resolution. We don't have any way within our power or anybody else's power to resolve these problems. And it's God who either, number one, he can permit it, but God also creates situations that you cannot solve. All right? And it's all working out for our good and certainly for his glory. We also saw that a believer then must know when to pray and what to pray when the time of crisis comes. When you face your crisis, and your crisis most assuredly will be different than mine, but everybody will assuredly face several crises in time. So, when you face it, you must know when to pray and what to pray for, right? A believer, now you saw what, think about this. Hezekiah had a good testimony. And so when he was speaking, he could pray to God with a clear conscience. Amen. And know that this difficulty, it's like Job. You remember when Job had his problems? His friends came to him with all of these accusations. They were all wrong. But you see, you need to have a clear conscience about the way you live.
Amen.
So when trouble comes, you're not sitting scratching your head trying to think about it if it's because of this or because of that. So he could turn to the wall and say, Lord, remember me. I've lived for you. I haven't lived perfectly. No. He didn't say I've lived perfectly. But I've lived for you. You're my God. I've served you, right? And so all of us need to think about your testimony before you get in trouble. Have a good testimony when you have to pray, yes? And then be humble about it. We also learn that God responds to that humble prayer when his purposes have been accomplished.
Amen.
Now I want you to really think about this. The Bible says, before Isaiah left the room, think of this. Hezekiah is just there praying. And before Isaiah leaves the room, God answers the prayer. Don't put God on a schedule.
Amen.
Just thank him, right? Plead with him and trust him that he's a, you know that old song? He's a long time God, you know that old song? He is. He's never late.
Amen.
Always on time. And so he responds when his purposes have been accomplished. God's answer to your prayer will always, always, always give him glory first. It will edify you and anyone else that's willing to believe that it's from God.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that's jealous or envious or covetous, they won't be blessed by your blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But anybody that's willing to receive that it's God's blessing from him to you, they'll be blessed too.
Mm-hmm.
And it will advance God's purpose. That's the reason God answers prayer.
Yes, it is.
Him glory, to keep us encouraged, and to move his plan and purposes forward.
Amen.
Is that good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the reason we can have confidence when we pray. And then finally, we see that it's God who personally controls how long you live.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Now you need to really get that. You know, we sing the song, "My life is in your hand." But you need to believe it. I want to get real practical with you. Your life is not in the coronavirus's hands.
That's right.
I'm not minimizing the virus at all.
Amen.
What am I saying? Your life is in God's hand.
That's right.
This king right here had a death sentence. He had a diagnosis of death. Mm-hmm. But God said, even though you are sick enough to die, God's got a plan for you.
That's right.
And he moves. Why? Because he's in control of how long you live. You won't die one day sooner. And you certainly won't live one day longer than God has planned. Just to be able to rest in the fact that God personally controls the length of my life and he controls the circumstances in my life as I live. That's living, my brother, my sister. That's the reason Christian living is the best there is.
Yes.
When it comes to our confidence, my confidence is in the Lord.
That's right.
Yes. So anyway, I won't continue to belabor those. So those are the things that we learned last week. Today, I want to unpack the latter part of this paragraph. And we'll basically look at verses 7 through 11. And I want to drill down a little bit more on God's answer to Hezekiah's prayer. And then I want us to look at Hezekiah's response right to God. God answered his prayer, and how did Hezekiah respond? All right? So let's take a look at the details of God's answer. Now, notice this. God did not choose to do this spectacular. He didn't choose to heal Hezekiah in some way that was spectacular and grandiose, did he? God chose to heal Hezekiah through natural means.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Now you need to get this. Okay? Now, remember, we're talking about Hezekiah. There are other situations where God heals people directly without anything or anybody else being involved. We're not talking about that. We're talking about this particular situation. Yes? God chose not to heal Hezekiah directly or spectacularly. You got verse 7? Go back to verse 7. And Isaiah said, "Bring a cake of figs, and let them take and lay it on the boil that he may recover." Amen. That doesn't sound very spectacular, does it? By the way, our translation can be a little bit deceiving. It says cake of figs. What it literally means is a paste. Okay. You and I may call it jam or jelly or you know what I mean. It's figs that have been put together in a place. I don't know how to make jam and jelly, but you know, you've got these figs that have been, it's literally a lump of figs, right? They've been squeezed and brought together in a ball or a lump, and he said, "Go ahead and take those figs and lay it on top of that cancerous boil."
Mm-hmm.
Now that don't sound very religious, does it? See, God knows how to humble us. Now, this is the king. The king has access to the best doctors in the land. But they couldn't do him any good.
Come on.
God said, "I want you to take a group of smashed up figs, and that's what I'm going to use to heal you. I'm going to do for you what no doctor in the land can do." You know what I'm saying? These are the details, okay? Now this is God's answer to the king's prayer. The king's going to have to, he had to humble himself to pray. He's going to have to humble himself to be healed the way God says. Now this is really important. God chose to use a natural means to accomplish a supernatural miracle.
Amen.
You get the point I'm making here? Who would have thought that I'm sitting here with this cancerous soul pervasive in my body that is coming to the skin? Who would have thought that God would use a lump of figs? No radiation, no chemo. You don't understand what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not impugning any of that. This is a man who prayed to God, and this is God's what? Answer. We agree?
Yeah.
And so that's what we got to get, is that God's ways are not always what? Our ways. And if you're going to pray and believe it, you have to be willing to obey what he says. You remember the story of Naaman just a little bit earlier in 2 Kings? 2 Kings 5? You remember him? He was the leader of the entire Syrian army. But he had leprosy. He was a leper. There was no medicine. There was nothing that could cure him. Nobody in all of Syria, in all of the land, could cure him. But he captured this little servant girl. You know the story? And she told him about Elisha, a man that God used to heal. You remember the story? So Naaman goes to Elijah the prophet with his pomp, and he's there as the leader of the Syrian army. There he is before Elijah. And Elijah says, if you want to be healed, you got to go dip 7 times in the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
He was appalled. Mm-hmm. He was insulted. What? I traveled all the way. I got rivers back in Syria. Matter of fact, I got much nicer rivers than this old muddy Jordan. Much nicer rivers that I could have dipped in up there. Why do I have to come down here and dip in the old Jordan? And he was so angry he left. But fortunately he had one of his advisors was able to get to him and say, you really ought to listen to this man. And he went into that old river that had no significance whatsoever. And after he did 7 times, the Bible said he came out of the heat.
Yeah. Amen.
You get it?
Mm-hmm.
And so the only point that I'm making is that God can, everything's a resource to God. Yes?
Yes.
Everything is available to him. God can use anything or anyone to bless you.
That's right.
Jesus used 2 fish. And what? 5 loaves of bread to feed what? Thousands of people. 1 little boy's lunch. Given to the hand of the master. Fed what? Thousands of people. Moses had a staff. Right? You remember the story? In his hand. And God, he was squirming around wanting to know, get some confidence from God. God says, what's in your hand? God used the staff to work what? Mighty miracles. You all know the story of the blind man? Remember that? Jesus put some mud on the blind man's eye. How do you get your sight back from mud? When it's in the master's hand. You get it? Now, I'm spending a little time here because this is really important. God still answers prayers like this.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to be listening.
Yeah.
Because it may not be spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
He can use anything or anybody to bless you.
Yeah.
And you may consider the thing or the person beneath you.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, God answers. These are the details of God's answer to the prayer. But then I want to show you something else. I want to show you how God is willing to affirm us when we're weak. Now, I wrestle with this word, but I believe this is the right word. God is actually to give affirmation to a weak Christian, a weak believer, if you will. Now, here's what I mean. God does not reprove a believer when you need affirmation. He does reprove you when you doubt or when you're in unbelief. Mm-hmm. You need to stay with me on this. Okay? I think in Matthew 12, you remember Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? And they were what? They wanted a sign. They said, show us a sign. He said, well, that doesn't sound too bad. Well, see, Jesus already knows the heart. Mm-hmm. Giving them a sign wasn't going to help them believe. They would have had the sign and still wouldn't believe. You see, that's unbelief. Mm-hmm. And so he reproves us when we won't believe. They had every reason to believe. There was God standing in front of them. He had worked mighty miracles. He had taught the truth. They had every evidence they needed to believe. And they wouldn't believe. And they kept asking for what? More. He won't do it. Mm-hmm. That's unbelief. You remember the disciples? Remember when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration? You remember that in Matthew 17? He's there, Peter, James, and John. He's transfigured. Then they come down the mountain. You remember that story? And then there's this boy down there who's demon-possessed. And the disciples hadn't been able to cast out the demon. You remember that story? What did he reprove them for? The littleness of your faith. You know better. You know better than that. Stop doubting. Stop doubting me. You see, stop hustling. Stop acting like you're a hustler. And I'm serious. You get in trouble, you go into your hustle mode rather than turning to the Lord. James said that the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea. They can't be trusted. When you got a wishy-washy Christian, you can't trust them. As a matter of fact, he says that if that's the way you are, you wish you was, don't expect God to answer you. You got to believe. If you're asking God, he says, you got to believe that I can do it. God isn't going to, he isn't going to affirm unbelief. He will confirm, he will affirm weakness. It's just like you raising a child. For you to continue to affirm a child who's disobeying you is a bad parent. Just because they're weak and they can't do something, don't understand. That's what you want to affirm, is the fact that they can't do it. But if they are rebellious and disobedient, you don't affirm that, you reprove that.
Amen.
You correct that. You see the difference? And so God doesn't reprove us when we're weak and pray. When we need help. Isn't that good?
Amen.
He's a good father.
He's a good father.
And what does he do here? You might remember that we're going to get to this next. Hezekiah does ask for some help. He asks for a sign. And look at what God does. God graciously works a miracle in nature to give Hezekiah the assurance and the affirmation that he needs. Verse 11. And Isaiah the prophet called to the Lord, and he brought the shadow back 10 steps by which it had gone down on the step of Ahaz. Amen. So keep that in mind. This is the last thought we have, and then we're going to be done. Not only does God answer Hezekiah's prayer, I want you to see Hezekiah's response. And I think this is equally important. Hezekiah needed. He was seeking affirmation. He needed affirmation. You got it, 2 Kings? Look at verse 8. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, that I shall go up to the house of the Lord on the third day? Now, by the way, that's important. Hezekiah, and I'm going to get to this in a minute, but Isaiah had told Hezekiah, the Lord's going to heal you, and then on the third day after you've been healed, you're going to go up to the house of prayer. You're going to go up to the place of worship. And there was a reason for him going up. What would you be going up for if God healed you? Okay? So God has already told him up front, this is what God's going to do, and this is the way Hezekiah is going to respond. Okay? But Hezekiah says, this seems so wonderful.
Help me, help me.
Lay hold of this, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute. And so
Hezekiah
isn't the only saint that needed affirmation. You agree with that? Y'all know Gideon. You remember the story of Gideon? Gideon needed some affirmation too, didn't he? After God told him what he was charging him to do. He wanted to what? Well, if that's true, Lord, now there's a fleece here. I'd like to wake up tomorrow and see that the fleece is wet when the ground is dry. And vice versa, right? Did God accommodate it? Yes. Because it wasn't unbelief. He needed affirmation. There are many saints that have needed affirmation. Y'all remember Abraham's servant? I can tell by the blank looks you don't. Abraham's servant was sent out. Abraham sent him out to find a wife. Right? You remember that? For Isaac. And so he prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, let the one who you've pointed out for me, let it come to the well. You remember that? And give me a sign.
Yes.
Moses said the same thing. He wanted a sign. And so God showed him with the staff. I'm telling you, God will help you when you're weak in prayer.
Yes.
When you need affirmation, he's a good father. Now this is good news for those of us who know what it's like to struggle in prayer, who knows what it's like to struggle when you're in crisis, when you're not faking it. You're just being real with God. And it's a good thing to know that God wants you to be real with him. Amen? Sometimes, and here's the point I'm making. Sometimes God's blessings are so extraordinary, it's just difficult to get your mind around. Sometimes what he's going to do for you is so extraordinary, you just can't understand. He's only accepted in all of his fullness yet. And here's what I mean. You know, initially when you finally understand what God's about to do for you, it's as Ephesians 3, he's able to do exceeding, right? Abundantly, above all that we ask or think, or far more immeasurably. Above all that we ask or think. Y'all remember that in Ephesians 3? That's a wonderful verse. That 2 Corinthians 9. I think it says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you. So that having, look at this, all sufficiency in all things at all times, you will abound in every effective work. Isn't this wonderful? Can you hear this verse? God is able to make all grace abound to you. So that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work.
Uh-huh.
How do you get your brain around that? That's the goodness of God. That's the value of grace. That's the reason he can say, my grace is what? Sufficient. Because out of that grace pulls everything you need. All the fears that you have, he can help you overcome it. All the anxiety and worry that you have, he can help you overcome it. When you get your bad news, grace comes right in there and comforts you. That's the deal. That's the deal. And all of us need to hear this.
Amen.
Because we're living in a troubled day.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
And you're going to have to deal with your crisis. It's coming. I believe the financial crisis is on the horizon.
Amen.
The medical crisis is what? It's
yeah.
on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
You take your head out of sand. Mm-hmm. This is the last day. And when you've done all that you can do to stand, what are we to do?
Amen.
Stand on!
Hallelujah.
How? Like this.
Mm-hmm.
All of my help
comes from
the Lord. What? Comes from the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Not for how strong I am.
Mm-hmm.
God actually tells me, Willie, when you realize how weak you are, when you are weak, what? It's then that you're strong. When your strength is in the Lord, when you stop faking it, stop pretending that you're Superman, Superwoman. See, then you can get help. But sometimes it's just so extraordinary, you can't get your mind around it. You remember when I think it was Elizabeth, when she finally got the good news about here's this woman way past age, the age where you get pregnant, she got the, finally got pregnant, and you remember what she said? Nothing will be impossible! What? With God.
That's right.
And Jesus emphasizes that in Matthew 19. When people were having difficulty with how a person could be saved. You remember Jesus told us, easy for the camel to go through the eye of a needle. They said, well, how is it that anybody can be saved? Jesus said, things impossible, what? For men. Are possible with God.
Hallelujah.
That's the deal. So it's bigger than our ability to contain at times. And so God knows that there are those times when you need affirmation. When you haven't gone there before. Yeah? You haven't gone there before, and he's about to take you there. And you say, I want to go, but I need help. I wanna get on the roller coaster, the bus, or the train and ride. But I need your help. But I ain't done this before.
Yeah.
I haven't gone this way before. You see, it's like Peter. When he saw Christ, y'all remember the story? He's walking on the water. Peter fixed his eyes on Christ and said, Lord, if it's you, what? Let me come to you. He ain't done that before. And he needed help. That's how it is. And I believe it's done it. We haven't experienced a lot of that in America, but it is here. I believe it's on the horizon.
Amen.
Where natural ways are just not going to solve our problem.
Mm-hmm.
Christians have been flying on the radar a long time in America. But when it comes down to money of the Christian, or survival, or the fitness of the Christian, or whatever, however you want to put it. We have got to learn that our help doesn't come from the world. Yes?
Amen.
I thank God for the resources that he uses. But God wants us to see that he is our refuge and our strength. A what? A very present help in times of trouble. And then this is what I wanted to get to. Not only does Hezekiah seek affirmation, but Hezekiah gives thanks. I don't know, you might not have seen this when I read through it before, but I want you to think about this. Hezekiah has been promised that God would give him 15 more years of life, right? You remember that? He's 39 when he finds out he's got this terminal illness, right? God's going to add what? 15 years to his life. So God hadn't told Hezekiah he's going to become an old man, has he? Hezekiah is still going to die at 54, right? Okay. And you say, well, that's a young man. Yeah, but that's 15 years longer than he had.
That's right.
Yes? Amen. So we have to thank God for what he does. Yes?
Amen.
Thank him for what he does.
Amen.
Stop wishing for what you don't have. Thank him for what you do have. Thank him for the blessings that he already gives you. And stop comparing him to everybody else.
Yes.
Thank God for what? Your blessings.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Yes?
Yeah.
That's the deal. He's 39. God promises him that he's going to live to be 54. You're not going to be an old man. But those you better make the most of those 15 years. Why? Because they are a gift.
Mm-hmm.
See, don't despise God's goodness to you. I heard Pastor Perry talking about cars a while ago. You need to thank God for the car you have, or the vehicle you have, or whatever the case may be, because he gave it to you.
That's right.
Yeah?
Amen.
Stop comparing and
yeah.
wishing. Learn to thank God when He's been good to you. And learn how to see His goodness and stop living like a little spoiled child. Thank Him, because He's good. He's always good. The Lord is good. His loving kindness endures what?
Forever.
Forever. He is good. And so, God promised to add, to heal Hezekiah and add 15 years to his life, because God knew that Hezekiah would publicly give Him thanks in the worship service. See, I read this earlier, and I've been commenting on it, and I'll just say this, and then we'll try to wrap it up. You see verse 5? I want you to listen to verse 5 as I read it again. And it's God speaking to Isaiah. Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David our father, David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, behold, I will heal you. And then look at the last sentence. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. Remember I told you that there's a reason for that? This is it. He's going to give God thanks. He's going to give God some praise. The praise He is due.
Yeah.
God's telling him in advance. There's a song somebody did it. I can't remember. Learn to praise God in advance.
Praise Him in
advance. And this is the deal, my brother, my sister. When you know you've heard from God, look at Paul. He's got this thorn in the flesh. He's been pleading with God about it. He's just been struggling with it and praying that God would remove it. And then God finally answers him and says, I'm not going to do that, Paul. As a matter of fact, that thorn is good for you. Now the whole, look at Paul now. His whole perspective changed. Now he moves from misery and complaining to praise. All because he heard from God. He got God's perspective on the issue. That's what we want. Yes? I want to know God's mind and God's will. And therefore, I can praise Him. When we come together, that's the reason we don't come together to worship our problems. You can stay at home. You know what I mean. You don't need to come to church to worship your problem.
That's right.
We come here to worship the Lord. The maker of heaven and earth. If there's anything to bring you joy, it ought to be Him. Because these problems are going away. But the Lord remains forever. Yes? And He is good. He is good. Well, you've been patient, so let's kind of wrap up our thoughts. Here's what I want you to think about. Brothers, sisters, friends, we must not be shocked or surprised when we find ourselves with our back against the wall. Don't be shocked or surprised when you got your back against the wall with a financial crisis. Or a medical crisis, or a crisis in your family. Don't be shocked when your church is in the middle of quagmire and a crisis, or your job, the employment scenario that you're in, or is in a crisis. The school system is in a crisis, or some other personal crisis. Don't be shocked and surprised, because all Christians at some point in life are tested. All Christians are tempted. And all Christians will suffer. Remember, I think it's 1 Corinthians 10, there is no temptation that has overtaken us except that which is common. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be what? Tempted beyond what you're able to bear, but with the temptation will what? Make a way of escape. It's common, my brother, my sister. Your package may not look like mine. Your issue may not look like mine, but we're all going to face it. Don't be surprised when it visits your house. And when it visits you personally. When it visits your body. When it visits your bank. When it visits your finances. You see? And You say, well, that's not very assuring. I'm not trying to make you happy. I'm trying to build you. I'm trying to get you ready.
Amen.
For life. Yes? For life. Because if you will get this, you may not be happy, but you can be full of joy.
Amen.
Amen. Say it, preach, preach.
Joy. The joy of the Lord, what strengthens. God uses all circumstances of life for his glory and for our good. Right, Romans 8:28? For his glory, for our good. So when your crisis comes, or maybe you're in your crisis right now, remember to humble yourself and pray and seek God's face. Turn away from your wicked ways and turn what? To the Lord. Turn away from the crisis. As a matter of fact, I mentioned that last week, and I want to say that again. When you are facing a crisis, don't keep staring at it. What good does that do you to keep staring at the problem? Turn to the Lord.
Amen.
You see, that's not indifference. That's not fear. That's wisdom. Because the more you stare at it, Jesus said it this way. What can you change? What have you changed? You've been up all night staring at this problem. What changed?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Turn. If you're going to stay up all night, stay up all night with the Lord.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, some of us need to learn to do that. Sometimes, see, prayer isn't like a driving through a jack in the box. Prayer isn't, there's no drive-through lane. Right? Say your prayer at the first speaker, get your answer, you see it at the next window.
Maybe that's the way we think about prayer.
Amen.
You think of prayer like a buffet, a major meal. Lots of courses. You ever been to a really fine, nice meal? They're not in the hurry. Why? Because it's all good. You need to see prayer as what? All good.
Yes.
All of it. The beginning, the middle. Stay with it until to the end. Because when you got a good meal, it's like bookings. You need the beginning and the end of it for it to be a package. You need to think of prayer like that.
Okay, so turn your face to the Lord. Look up to him. Cry out to him. Plead with him, knowing that all of your help comes from him. The Lord will hear. You remember that old song? He will hear your humble cry and what? He will answer. What? By and by. He knows your back is against the wall. God knows you have nowhere else to turn. He knows that you don't have money to fix this problem. He knows that your insurance won't fix this problem. He knows that medicine won't fix your problem. He knows that the doctors or some social status, some influence that you have in the society won't fix your problem. He knows that pastors and deacons and church members can't fix your problem. He knows that siblings and friends and other relatives cannot help. He already knows that.
Yeah.
So stop faking it. Stop hustling. Stop acting like a hustler, running around from place to place trying to get help when God doesn't intend for you to get help from anybody but him. And it's sad to make God your last choice. And all of us need to think about that. When you turn to God, has he been your last choice? Humble yourself. Stop pretending. Stop faking it. Nothing is too hard for God. Amen? Nothing is impossible with God. All things are possible with the Lord and for one who believes. Amen. The question is, do you believe that God can help you when your back's against the wall? Do you believe that God hears you when you pray? Do you believe that God answers and will deliver you? Do you believe it? Do you believe that no mountain is too high? You remember that old song? There's no mountain too big, too high for God. No valley, no circumstance. You may be in the gutter, but that gutter is not too low for God.
Most of us came out of the gutter. I did.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that God deals with gutter people.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Aren't you?
Amen.
So you see, God brought some folks off the mountain. They thought they were way too high. Until they realized that money and power and fame, that won't do it. Some thought they were too low. You understand? And so I'm saying to you, no problem is too high. No problem is too low for God. So don't think you got something you cannot take to God. You understand what I'm saying?
No circumstance is too grave. Do you believe when doctors and hospitals cannot help, God can?
Amen.
Do you believe when medication and meditation cannot help, God can?
Yes.
Do you believe when banks and credit unions and investments and insurance policies and employers cannot help, God can? Do you believe when marriage counselors and pastors and deacons and church members cannot help, God can? Do you believe that when education and determination and extrication cannot help, God can?
Yes.
And when God our Father graciously helps you, will you turn back and give him thanks in the sanctuary? And that's where I want to end. There's a few verses in Psalm 34 that I want to end with. Listen to it. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Listen to this. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. And finally, verse 6. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen.
Hallelujah.
If you're not a Christian, if you don't have a real relationship with Christ, this would be a good time for you to turn to him now. Those who come to him in humility and faith, he'll never cast you off. Trust him today. Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness in every way. Thank you for the mercies that are fresh and new toward us every morning. Thankful that your steadfast love never ceases. We want to thank you today that we find in you the stability for life. You are the anchor of our life. You are the firm foundation. You are our place of refuge and our strength. We want to thank you, Lord, that you never change. You're the only one that can declare, I, the Lord, change not. We're thankful that you're not like the medical forecast. You're not like the weather. You're not like the financial forecast. You're not like all of these changing dynamics. You remain the same. And so here we are today, confessing to you, Lord, that there have been too many times that we stared at our problems too long. There have been too many times that we let the crisis dominate our thinking. Too many times. Too many times. That we found ourselves carried away with thinking about everything going on in our lives other than you. And so we just need your help now. Like Hezekiah, help us to know when and what to pray in our own time of crisis. Help us to be honest with you, and when we need affirmation, to confess that to you honestly and earnestly. We love you, Lord, and it's only because you first loved us. Yes. Remember us now as we think about these things together. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, God bless you.